In the past, we have spent time talking about common mistakes that people make in their 20s. That episode was a hit and was really relatable to a lot of people. So I'm back with more mistakes that people make in their 20s. Hi there. I just want to introduce myself. I am the host of Girls Just Want to Have Funs. My name is Ashley. Just before we get into it, as I always do in every episode, I want to share the heart and the mission behind this podcast, which is to equip young women for their present and their future financially, professionally, and everywhere in between. So with that, let's go ahead and hop on into these commonly made money mistakes in your 20s. Number one, relying on credit. Credit is a wonderful tool. Credit cards are wonderful tools if used properly and correctly. It is a really scary thing when people are relying on credit to get them to their next rent payment or helping them eat every month. There are definitely situations where having a credit card is literally your ride or die. You cannot live your life without it. You cannot be at a place without it. I'm hoping that you're not at that poverty line. And if you are, please reach out to me because I would love, love, love to help you get out of that situation. But if I probably know anything about my audience, I know that that is kind of not the audience that I have. And so relying on credit is really, really not a great idea when it comes to having a fun weekend or you see a top you want and you go get the top because you have money on your credit card that you can spend. No, you don't have money on your credit card you can spend. And there has to be kind of an ideological shift in how you actually, see the idea of what a credit card is to you. I'll go into this more when I talk about credit, but that's all for now. Relying on credit is a very scary thing in a lot of different situations. Okay, number two. This is probably going to be a little bit controversial depending on who you are and how you're raised, but going to grad school unnecessarily is such a common money mistake in people's 20s that they make. I will really, really just want to encourage you that grad school is such a wonderful thing. It is a place where you can learn more about the field you want. It can really elevate your intelligence and get you to a point of understanding more about your career. In some cases, you cannot even have a career without going to grad school, like law or psychology. However, what I will say is there are many people in their 20s who decide to go to grad school because they graduate college, don't have a job, and don't know what they want to do with themselves. Or don't know what they want to do with their life or their career, rather. These are the people I was talking to in this moment. I really want to challenge you, instead of going to grad school, because it is literally an over $100,000 decision, typically, sometimes less, sometimes much more, try to figure it out without taking on tons and tons of debt. Because in some cases, grad school can be the literal best thing you've ever done, but in other cases, it can be the worst decision you don't want to finish and you still have to carry the debt from the semesters that you went to grad school. Whether you finish or not, if you go to grad school and you take out student loans, you're still responsible whether you graduate or not. So just think about it. Try to brainstorm your career in college. Try to take time off. It's okay if you don't necessarily have a job when you graduate, but that does not mean you need to take on a really, really expensive educational experience to figure out what you want to do. Try to do that before you go to grad school. So then while you're in grad school, you can really use that as a springboard for where you want to go. So you're really targeted in what you're doing inside of your grad school program. That's all for the rant today. Just kidding. Number three, not building credit or not stewarding your credit score. I'm sure as a common theme, you've heard a lot about credit and you're probably a little interested onto why it's such an issue for most people, but that's beyond the point. Not building your credit is really important. There's a lot of different things you need credit for, whether that be signing a mortgage, like a loan for buying a house, which granted, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I would assume that no one in their 20s is going out and getting a mortgage right now. However, not building your credit can be a really, really hard thing to have to deal with. Also, to take it even a step further, not stewarding your credit score or being really stupid and frivolous while using credit is not a place you want to be in. So let me just quickly go ahead and explain what a credit score is, and I'll get really further into detail when I go into credit, which will be coming up in a future episode. But basically, your credit score shows your credit worthiness to people either trying to give you a loan, trying to give you a credit card, or potentially renting a place. It all depends. Your credit score is built up by a few different components. Do you pay your bills on time? How much of your credit card limit have you used? Are you maxing out your credit cards? How long have you had your credit cards? How many accounts do you have? All of these things go into this big number that basically tells whether or not you're credit worthy. And let me just be very honest with you. When I opened my credit number, I literally had nothing going on. But when you start your credit, and you have to build it up, right? So like when I started my credit, because some people are super lucky and their parents put them on their credit card very young, so they start building credit with their family. My parents didn't do that. And so I built my credit literally from scratch. And I think I started at a 500, which is literally in the red. Like that is an awful credit score. Would not have been approved for literally any credit cards, no mortgages, like would have literally been approved for nothing. However, you build it up, and it's possible. I've gotten from 500 to over 700 at this point, which isn't the best possible credit score you could ever get, but I'm getting there and things are going good, so it's possible. Basically, what I mean by that is just to kind of conclude that huge rant on what a credit score is basically you just are not building a credit score properly and you're not doing a good job of like maintaining a good credit score. And I'll explain all of this if it's confusing in more depth in a later episode, but that's a common money mistake is not building your credit. Okay. Number four, this is probably obvious to everyone. I know my mother complains about this when my father does it. I complain about it to myself when I personally do it to my own bank account and my bank account is the victim. And this is going grocery shopping when you are hungry. Oh gosh. We're all guilty of this one. If you're not, you deserve a gold star because you have literally avoided the top problem that comes with grocery shopping. Kudos to you. This is pretty obvious. You spend more when you're hungry. For me, when I go grocery shopping when I'm hungry, I typically spend more money on produce, which goes bad, which is even stupider. I'm like, oh gosh, I could really use some celery. Like, when was the last time you ate celery, Ashley? Literally when? Oh gosh. Okay, number five. Frivolous spending when you are trying to achieve a goal or plan. And what I mean by that is, so let's say frivolous spending here is like coffee or getting drinks every time you go out to dinner, whether that be, you know, a fountain drink or even an alcoholic drink, like whichever. All of those little costs really add up. And when you're trying to plan and when you're trying to make a goal, those little things, as I would call like indulgences, they can really start to become habits very quickly. Like you go from getting one peppermint hot chocolate at Starbucks one day, and then you literally get it four times a week in like a matter of like 4 weeks. So I've been there and I've had to reel myself in, but this is just kind of a really common mistake. Like people spend frivolously on things that kind of draw away from them achieving their goal or achieving their plan by letting these indulgences really take over and become habits in their lives. Okay. Number six, not knowing the difference between a want and a need. Oh gosh, if I can literally teach you anything over the course of this entire podcast life, it is the difference between a want and a need. I wish I could like do a Kahoot of like want and need trivia, because I think this would really put things into perspective. A need is a winter coat, food, getting a root canal if you have a cavity. Like, those are needs. I know a lot of people would say coffee is a need. Coffee is not necessarily a need. What is a want? A want is the green juice you see at Whole Foods. A want is that new sweater from a cute boutique. A want is ordering, I don't know, let's say an LED face mask or a Clarisonic. Like, those are wants. A need is soap, toothpaste. If you wear contacts, contact solution. Like, those are needs. Once you can kind of differentiate a want versus a need, everything will be so much better for you. Because then you can go into a store and you can decipher, do I actually need this? No. Okay, if I don't need it and I don't have the money, then I don't want to buy it. I don't need to buy it, right? Wanting to buy something versus needing to buy something are two very separate things. Okay, number 7, playing the market or uninformed investing. We're seeing it so rampantly these days. Oh, this person on Robinhood just made $12,000 on Bitcoin. Or like the people, I don't know if anyone's had this happen, but they like DM you and it's like a scam DM. And it's like, I'll teach you how to Forex options trade. Get rich quick. Quit your day job. And it's like, okay, literally no. This is a multi-level marketing scheme. Takes finance. Like, just don't fall for it. Investing is such a powerful and transformative tool for a lot of people's finances. But uninformed investing, or just playing around with stocks, you can get lucky. It's like the slot machines. There's people who get lucky. There's people who do great, right? But if you don't have any plan or any knowledge of what's going on, then you're going to make stupid decisions and you're going to lose your money. So just avoid it. And if you are going to try to like not put in the prep work to actually do investing, look at it as a sunk cost. And what I mean by that is money you're never going to get back. Just like when you go into the casino and you're like, I'm going to spend $15, or like, I'm going to spend $150 in the casino for fun. And that's going to be the end. If I win, cool. If I don't, cool. Look at that the same way as you look at investing, uninformed investing. Okay. That's my rant for now. If you want Robinhood, just don't expect to make your money. And if you do make money, that's awesome. But like, don't think of it as your end all be all. There's so many people who are like, I want to go do investing. And it's like, cool, me too. Let's all do it. But then there's people who are like, oh shoot, I lost money and I can't get that back. Don't be that person. If you're going to invest, spend the time and the prep work actually figuring it out. Some really great tools just off the top of my head are Dividend Hunters, Motley Fool, Investing Daily. These will all be linked on my blog, so you can like reference them after the episode if you're wanting to like look more into this. I'll be in my plan for the podcast, I'll be going more into investing because it's something that I really want to learn more about and share with you guys. So just hold your horses on that, and I'll be happy to share like different types of investment you can research further. I'm not going to tell you what to invest in, but I'll tell you what types of things you can invest in later on. Okay, number 8, trying to keep up with the Joneses, also known as lifestyle creep. Lifestyle creep is probably, how do I say this without sounding too dramatic, the most detrimental thing you can probably ever do to your entire financial portfolio. Was that too dramatic? What is a lifestyle creep? So a lifestyle creep means I make this amount of money, this is how much I can afford. You get a raise, you make more. I make this much money, now I can afford more, so I'm going to spend more. And so you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going until ultimately you literally are spending so much money and you cannot afford your lifestyle. Rather, you're making stupid decisions to maintain a lifestyle as you keep increasing your money, or as you keep increasing your money, you see people who are making more money than you, and so you're trying to keep up with them, but you don't have the income to keep up with them. Does that make sense? Hopefully. Keeping up with the Joneses basically means like you have unrealistic expectations of what your life should look like. I am so guilty of this. I see people on social media and I'm like, oh my God, they're doing this, that, and the other. I need to do this, that, and the other. And it's like, I literally don't have the money to do that. Like, I don't, maybe one day. but I do it anyways because I want to do what they're doing. Or they're wearing these cute shoes, I want to wear these cute shoes. I think a great example of this, and it's even if you can afford it, it's like you don't have to spend the money to keep up. Why keep up? Be your own person. Everyone else is already taken anyways. Isn't that what they say? Okay. Number 9 is buying new when you can buy used. There are so many ways that this is a mistake, right? There's so many things you can buy used that you can buy new. Reverse. There's so many things that that people buy new when they can buy them used. Off the top of my head, textbooks, cars, furniture. You can get so much great furniture off of Facebook Marketplace. Do not cringe at that. Like, there are some hidden gems in Mountain Brook Facebook Marketplace. Other things. Gosh, I'm trying to think. There are some beautiful designer clothes online that you can buy. Consigned, even going to a consignment shop. Like, there's so many ways that you can save money by just buying something else. Not even to get into like a sustainability mindset about this, but you're not only not consuming extra, but you're also saving yourself money. So it's kind of like two birds, one stone, rather $1. Okay. And then finally, overdraft fees. What is an overdraft fee? If you've never had to deal with an overdraft fee, God bless you. Like, you're the luckiest person on the planet. But there's been times where I am waiting for a check to deposit, my workout membership just went off, like, just hit that day, and then I also went to the grocery store and spent a bunch of money, and then after that I went to Target and accidentally bought everything in the $1 section, which ended up being $45, as it always is. And then your money is overdraft because you've spent too much and there's not enough in your account for all the money that you're spending. Overdraft fees are so expensive. So expensive. I'm lucky now that my bank account that I currently bank with, Chase, has a savings account attached to my checking account. So if this ever happens, it just automatically takes the money out of my savings account, puts it into my checking so I can complete the transaction. And then when I deposit money back into my checking account, it removes the money that I've taken out of my savings and puts it back in my savings. What a holy grail of a feature in a bank. So blessed to have that. However, before I had that wonderful tool from Chase Bank, overdraft fees at PNC, not to name drop, were $36 a pop. Oh my gosh. And if you have multiple transactions, no matter if your transaction is like $4 or like $150, it's going to be $36. Ah! So if you have 4 transactions in one day that your account is overdraft, that's $144 that you still have to pay back. And they don't like reverse them. It's not like a one fee fits all. It is like literally a one fee for every time. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. Overdraft fees are an issue. They're expensive. It's just not worth it to have to deal with them. So always make sure you're prepared. You have a plan in place or there is some sort of money in your account so you never have to have these $36 fees. Do you know how many Chipotle bowls $36 buys? A lot. So that is part 2 of commonly made financial mistakes in your 20s. If you didn't relate to any in the last episode, which I hope you go check out after this one if you haven't already, then potentially you related to some in this episode. As I've mentioned so many times before, this podcast is really just here to help you avoid these mistakes and teach you more about why they're made and why they're such a problem. So I hope this was not only informative, but also kind of entertaining. That's always my goal, is to bring a smile to your face and to give you a little bit of information as well. As always, you can find more information about this and a detailed list of all of these commonly made mistakes on my blog, ashcaro.com, which can be found in the show notes. Before we leave today, I just want to thank you for being here with me and listening for so long and finishing out the episode. You're doing awesome, and I really appreciate your time. And just know that you are honoring yourself and your financial situation 10 years from now by taking the time to really put in the prep work now. This is not something to be taken lightly, and you're awesome for sitting here and doing it so early on. You're making a change that is so needed in this world. So anyways, that's all for me today. I hope wherever you are, you're having a wonderful day, and I will catch you in the next episode. Bye-bye.